Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, from His Son Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Would you all agree with this statement? Life is hard. Each and every one of us are sinful, broken people. And everywhere we go, we are in a world that is at war both with God and each other. That's what makes life hard. It's hard for children and adults alike when divorce enters the picture. Life is hard even for students that grow up in a stable Christian home, especially when they're wanting to both choose good friends as well as be part of the popular crowd. Life is hard economically for people. What with house payments and car payments, with credit card debt and high medical cost, mental illness and crime make life hard. Alcohol and drug abuse also do. Not to mention living in a culture that prizes convenience and comfort nearly over everything else, as well as being in a culture that characterizes you and I as Christians as uneducated Bible thumpers, backwood hicks. And speaking of convenience, one of the most spectacular spots in the Wyoming Teton Mountains is a place called Bridger Wilderness Area. And people go there to enjoy God's vast, majestic, beautiful creation. But not everyone there appreciates what it takes. These are just some of the comment cards that were given to the staff from visitors. They said things like, trails need to be reconstructed. Please avoid building trails that go uphill. Serious. Another one, the places where trails do not exist are not well marked. My personal favorite, a small deer came into my camp and stole my jar of pickles. Is there any way I can get reimbursed? Are these people for real? I mean, have they completely lost sight of the fact that anywhere we go, even in the most beautiful places, life is hard? So where does our Christian faith come in? Are we chosen and called by God, by His grace? Are we chosen that way just so that He can provide us a soft landing after a hard life? Is our salvation the only benefit to believing in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Of course not. This priceless gift that we're looking at from God, this gift called faith, it was never meant to be thought of as just one small slice of a much bigger pie. But rather, our faith in Christ is a part of all of our lives. Our faith has an effect on what we do at home and at school, what we spend money on and how we care for our bodies, how we vote, what we do for fun. And isn't that why these Sunday mornings are invaluable? We have come here to worship God because this is the primary place where faith and life connect. This is where we get our spiritual gas tanks filled, where we can come in and say to our Heavenly Father and to each other, you know what, I messed up again this week. I blew it. I sinned. And I'm really, truly sorry. This is where we were refreshed through God's word of forgiveness. Here our souls are fed with the body and blood of Jesus that made us right with God. Here we are reminded that we are loved by God, that He is for us and He is with us, that He is faithfully protecting and providing for us. Yes, life is hard, and for that reason, we need what faith has to offer, and that is endurance. The same was true for the Apostle Paul. Open your Bibles, please, to our second reading for today. We're looking at the New Testament book of 2 Timothy. It begins on page 1853 in the Pew Bible. This was Paul's last and final letter. He was in a cold dungeon, having been put there by the Roman emperor named Nero. Paul was literally in chains for telling people about Jesus. His friends were having a hard time finding him. A number of his co-workers had deserted him. Paul was well aware that his life was coming to an end. And yet still, his primary concern was for Christians, for those churches that he had planted, especially knowing what kind of unstable person Nero was. And who was Timothy? Timothy was a young pastor, one that Paul had taken under his wing and whom he had led into ministry. Timothy was Paul's protege. He was serving there in the city of Ephesus. And Paul had this one last shot to build Timothy up and to strengthen his faith, especially in a world that was so hard. Look at 2 Timothy 1. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. I mean, isn't that just the perfect way to begin this section, this last will and testament of Paul's? Even more, isn't this the ideal way for facing life as a whole? God's grace is our source of spiritual strength. God's grace is that fountain which we thirsty, parched sinners are welcome to drink from. And so personally knowing the kinds of suffering and torment and persecution that Timothy is likely to face, this was Paul's counsel to him. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. What if that was the message that you sent your son or daughter off to college with? Or the message you spoke to them after they broke up from their first serious relationship? What if that was your encouragement when your son or daughter moved back home after an ugly divorce? Lean into God's grace, my dear one. Find your strength in the grace of God. Because His grace in Jesus truly is sufficient. It's more than enough. His grace is greater than all our sins. Be strong in that grace. Then verse 2. And the things that you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. The Apostle Paul was all about more and more people hearing the gospel, wasn't he? The message that God became man, that the Holy Son of God paid for our sins. And later on the third day, he rose from the dead. Paul was passionate that more people would hear and believe that message, and he would share that good news with his last dying breath. How about you? Whose life could you speak into? We all agree that our faith, it's a personal thing. It's our faith, not the faith of our parents, not the faith of our spouse. It's ours. It's personal. But God forbid that we would ever think it's private. Verse 3. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. When I was in the seminary, I was never great at the biblical languages, at Greek and Hebrew. Still today, I do like to dabble on occasion with a certain word here or there. I'll look at the origin of the word. I'll see the different ways in which it's used in Scripture. And I did that with this word here in verse 3, the word endure. Knowing that the message would be that the power of faith is endurance, I wondered what endure really means. Well, it's used here and later in verse 10, but it's a better translation here to say suffer hardship with us, like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Well, we don't hear much about suffering these days, do we? And we're all familiar with the beheadings that have recently taken place in North Africa and the Middle East. But we tell ourselves that kind of thing only happens somewhere else, you know, somewhere far away. It's in those other countries. And that distance can lead us to believe that it really doesn't apply to us here. We shouldn't have to suffer, right? Wrong. If we were to think that, we would be misreading this verse. And I know that a number of you have suffered in various ways for the sake of the gospel. Some of you have made extraordinary financial sacrifices to our For Generations to Come campaign. Others of you had made career sacrifices in order to keep your faith and integrity strong. You've moved, you've changed companies. Popularity is certainly a big deal, especially when we're younger. But because you follow Jesus, you may not be part of the most popular crowd. Good for you. Good for you that it's more important to follow Jesus and to please God than it is to be a people pleaser. In verses 3 to 7, Paul is saying, all of that is worth it. It's worth it to suffer for the sake of Jesus. It's worth it to serve the King of Kings. That is the person who ultimately will receive the award. That is the person who is the ultimate winner. And do you care to guess who suffered more than all? Look at verse 8. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. But dear friends, when life is hard, remember Jesus Christ. When for the sake of our Lord in His kingdom, you have the chance to let go of something that's precious to you, remember Jesus Christ. Remember how He let go of the glory and majesty of heaven in order to become our Savior. In Philippians 2, it says that Jesus, being in very nature God, didn't consider equality with God something to be held on to, but instead He let it go. He made Himself in the form of a servant. And when your back is against the wall, remember Jesus Christ. Remember that His back was up against the coarse, crude timbers of the cross. Oh, Jesus had options. He certainly did. He could have called down legions of angels to overcome His enemies. He could have used His divine power to come down from the cross. But Jesus chose to stay there. for us and for all sinners. He chose to suffer, and yes, to die, so that we could live. The Apostle Paul remembered Jesus Christ. He remembered His victorious, sin-erasing, death-defeating resurrection. That was the gospel for which he was suffering like a common criminal. But that was okay with him. Look at verse 10. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Earlier I mentioned that word endure meant to suffer, but here it's a different Greek word. It's better translated here to wait, to be patient, to persevere. So here's the big question. How's that possible? Paul is saying that our faith makes it possible. Our faith in Jesus' death and resurrection enables us to be patient and to wait and to hang in there when life is hard. A man by the name of Henry Nouwen wrote a book called Sabbatical Journeys. And in that book, he interviewed some friends of his who were trapeze artists, the Flying Rudellas. And they told Nouwen that there's a special relationship between the flyer and the catcher. The flyer, of course, is the person who lets go, and the catcher, you want to know what he does? He catches, okay? But as the flyer swings out there, he arches his back, he goes higher and higher, until finally the moment comes when he has to let go. His job then is to remain as still as is humanly possible and to wait for those strong hands of the catcher to pluck him from the air. One of the Flying Rudellas told Nouwen, the flyer must never try to catch the catcher. The flyer must wait in absolute trust. The catcher will catch him, but he must wait. Well, the point for us is obvious. When life is hard, it's faith that enables us to wait. Faith makes it possible for us to not give up. Faith to not go grabbing at anything and everything. Because faith is as strong as the person in whom we put our trust. And for you, child of God, that's good news, because your faith is in the one who catches you every time. The one who promised, I will never let you go. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Your faith is in the one who overcame the devil and the world and your sinful flesh. And in fact, Jesus overcame everything that makes life hard. That's the power of faith. It helps you to believe what you cannot see. It convinces you that what's going on in your life is part of a much bigger picture, one which God Himself is painting. So no matter how hard your life is, you're going to get through you because your faith in Jesus gives you endurance. Even when your faith is weak or faltering, you've got this going for you. You've got this ace up your sleeve. And it takes us back to where we started this morning with Paul's word of encouragement to Timothy. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You see, at the end of the day, our new life is always coming back to living under God's grace, isn't it? Amen. And may the peace of God that surpasses human understanding keep your hearts and minds anchored in Christ Jesus. Amen.